Hey there, it's Rochelle and Carter with Anything But Quiet Time podcast. It just rolls off the tongue. The Anything But Quiet Time, it kind of is like one word.
And change is upon us.
I know.
And by the way, if you still haven't started watching, you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893.
But if you haven't been watching, then I don't think the change will be as obvious.
You're not wearing your cheesy Christian t-shirt.
I am not, because this is a new year. And a new year provides an opportunity for new resolutions, right? And
yes.
I mean, well, like traditionally, yeah, and across the globe, people look at it this way. But seriously, I didn't realize until looking back on Amazon's bill how much a cheesy Christian t-shirt say with the mosquito.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to be so
full of the Holy Spirit that if a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing there is power in the blood.
Bought it twice.
You bought that shirt twice.
Accidentally.
So
two different colors.
I want to say, if you know somebody that is going through a hard time in their life, there is hope for them to change. Because
listen,
one Rochelle has walked away from this monstrosity.
For now. Now, if there's
one.
Okay. If there's,
then you haven't repented. Yeah.
If my husband's like, hey, let's have a cheat day.
It's not food. It's cheesy
where
Christian
you could go
t-shirt.
Buy a Christian t-shirt. I've got my eye on one.
Oh, my gosh.
That is
gosh.
So bad.
All right.
But it'll make you like, it's very satisfying at the same time.
Okay. So we have a lot of fun here at the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We also talk about what we're going through biblically and spiritually. And then when incidents come up that are worth talking about, because I think we can go at this with a spiritual lens here, but it's something that happened to me.
Yes, I remember you. You told me about this, and you waited a beat, because I think that's really smart. If you've ever been in a church where a pastor is going through an experience, I think you got to be careful. Like, don't preach on it too soon until you like come to the other side of it.
So right. Don't.
Maybe you have a broader scope
a
there.
A hard story in your life shouldn't be from last Thursday that you're going to broadcast to the world,
especially
right?
if you're still stewing on it.
Yeah, right, right.
You know?
It's more of still a conundrum for me, because I was funny at the time, but I also couldn't believe it. And I think let's just walk through this together. What would you do and how would you handle it? And I think there's one thing I would do different, or probably I'll say should have done differently.
Yes.
And then the rest is just like, what would I do if I was in the other person's shoes? So.
I think there's a couple ways you could do this. I think you walk through this as Carter, who is now a Jesus follower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you could walk through this as Carter.
BC, before Christ. Okay. So
this could be fun. Okay.
I'm at a Christian concert recently. A Christian concert at a church.
We get it.
That's all we'll say. And it's a general admission concert where you go in and you try to find your seat as quick as you, the best seat as quick as you can. Well, we weren't that early, so we're struggling for seats, and it was my wife and I, and then also we were with friends, a couple friends of ours, and then their daughter. So there's five of us in our party, and we're trying to find five together. It's really hard, but we find where there's two seats on one row and three seats behind.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the three behind, and I find two seats on this row, and it's kind of staggered because it hasn't started, and some people have clearly saved their seats but aren't there, and then there seems to be a couple of empty chairs, and I'm like, all right, well, there's one here, and there's one here, so if
I scooch those folks down, if they're willing,
the folks that have saved their seats, if they scoot one chair down,
then
my wife and I can sit together.
Sure.
So I sit and I wait for them to come back. My wife is also, there's a little shop at the front. So they're shopping.
And just to clarify, asking anybody to move the one seat over, would that have obstructed their view or made it less?
No, to me, it's one seat. I mean, it would be hard to anywhere make that big of a difference.
Sure.
And so I'm like, you know, and even the people behind me were like, oh, I mean, but it's one seat, you know. It's one seat.
Didn't they also bring up, it's a Christian concert.
It's a Christian concert. They kind of have
did.
To, right?
Yeah. They kind of have to.
Well, lo and behold, this young couple comes back to their seats, and I'm now sitting right by this woman, and I go, oh, hey, is anybody with you in that other seat on the other side of you? And they go, no. And I said, would you mind scooting down just that one seat so that my wife and I can sit together? And she looks at me, and she goes, I got here early so I could pick my seat. So no. And I kind of, for a split second, thought she was joking. And then I'm like, she's not joking. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
It was one of those questions that you posed assuming the outcome. Oh, in fact, you yes, already had your thank you on the end of yes, your tongue.
Yes, I did. It was almost like, can you do this thank you? And she said no. And before I could really react, the people on the other side of me said, oh, we'll scoot down.
Yeah.
And I, oh, thank you. And then she goes, well, maybe my boyfriend would want to scoot down. And I go, we're good. Because I'm not going to guarantee either one of y'all's answer now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they literally sat there. And then there was that other seat was open the whole time. And it ended up, obviously, for me not being a big deal. And we're talking about a seat at a concert, okay? And nobody died.
But maybe she didn't know the Lord or never been to church before.
Well, then during the concert, they said, and who goes to church here? And she raised her hands. And then I told my buddy, I go, I bet you $1,000 I know where she sits on Sundays. And that was it. And that was it. But yeah. I guess really it's a what would you do? And also I think the main thing that I would I'm going to say this because I think when you get in that moment, you get a little bit like, I can't believe it. And I told my wife, you know, when she sat in her seat, I'm mm-hmm. like, you're not going to believe what just happened, you know, kind of thing. And I think what I should do, but I don't even think I'll do next time, mm-hmm. is not go to that, I guess you call it gossipy, but more of that, why can't I just not say anything until we get out of the building? Because I know I would hate it if I had a boundary, even though I think her boundary's wrong. That's just me. But I would hate it if I had a boundary and then I could see them talking about it during the concert. Mm-hmm. But I did it. I told my wife, you know, and it was, she was stunned, but we were laughing and we were as awkward. And so I think that's the thing that I probably should do differently is just, let's just wait till we get out of here. And then I can openly talk about it to my wife and not like whisper behind somebody's back.
Yeah.
But besides that, I really just didn't know what to do. That's my main takeaway is I don't know what else I would do besides, I mean, other people obviously very, very nicely decided to move. But it was very interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to go super holy.
Okay.
This is what I think Jesus would do.
Okay.
Unless it behooves the person that is with him, I don't think he would tell what happened.
Oh yeah, at all, right?
So
yeah,
it's like, yeah. But you have your spouse, your mate, your teammate for life, right? Mm-hmm. And generally share and you kind of exchange between the other. I know that when Sammy has told my husband, when he has told me the things that have transpired and he was super chill about it, all of a sudden there's a rise in me. Mm-hmm. It triggered something ugly in me.
Sure, sure.
And it's like, I think at that point he's like, man, if I had known that would have even stirred anything, I wouldn't have gone there.
Right. It's not like he's keeping something from you. It's that you didn't need to know.
I didn't need to know.
Now, sometimes that's a hard line because you're like, yes, I did. You know? But I think the only thing that got me this time is the people behind me saw it happen. Our friends saw it happen.
And they may have brought it up.
And they would have brought it up and Kelsey would be like, why didn't you tell me? But I think you're right. Unless it was needed at all for later.
And even then, if your friends brought it up, you could just,
Yeah.
And then not engage.
Right. Yeah.
Because it is at the expense of the other.
Sure.
They were being poopies. Okay. I'm just going to say it. And I know because I've felt that way. And whether or not I've actually responded and said, no, you can't have this seat on the inside, I've thought, I want to get out of here early. But I might begrudgingly scoot over.
It's hard because there's no objective rule. There's no even a cultural norm, right?
Yeah.
You think that it's not a big deal, but unless it's an airline and you paid for a window seat, you know, this is very
and you can't what's interesting about this is that you do know that those people went to that church.
Yes.
But I remember at a theme park, it was a new experience for us. Here's this international situation now where we have multiple cultures, multiple languages all mixed up. And I saw these kids barging ahead and their families in front of us in line. Mm-hmm. And there is a societal understanding. You wait your turn in line, right. And you need to get behind me. Whereas you've even told me when your wife
went to India. There's not lines.
No.
Yeah.
And they just whoever first come first serve, mm-hmm. and that's the culture.
Right. Right. Right.
So
it's not right or wrong. It just depends on where you're at.
It depends on where you're at.
Nobody would force her to give up her seat. It's, right. It's not like it's fine that she said that. It was just kind of stunning. And it obviously comes off as rude.
I think if there was a, like I said, if Jesus would find a way that it would behoove his disciples or whoever it was that he was with, mm-hmm. if there was something that he could even point to later and say, you know, I witnessed something.
And that's what we kind of talk about with
and
pastors,
here's
right?
And an opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
And so not to like, oh my gosh, can you believe what they did? Even right. though if I was a pastor, I would take it and milk it. You know, it's like, okay, because let's be honest, this is a frustrating, very human set of circumstances that you find yourself in. I think Jesus wants us to get to the place where nothing that anyone else does is going to disturb my peace.
Mm, that's good. Yeah.
And so if I'm there and I'm really solidly understanding, especially where my teammate is at, for everything there's a season, there's a time. So if there is a time at some point, say, you know, this was something that happened and it reminded me to, if I'm ever in a circumstance like that at our church, I want to make sure that we're always opening the door. Oh, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to, I think it's very smart of you and wise, I should say, wise of you to discern. That probably wasn't the best time
sure.
to have told Kels sure. about it, but.
Well, and the worst case scenario is we sat two seats apart from each other at right. a concert that we were blessed to be able to go see, you know, financially able to just go spend money on a concert. It's not a huge deal. It's not our kid's graduation or something.
But right? it's these little things, I think. It may not even be, in fact, if you're listening to this, you're like, oh my gosh, you're really, whoo, you are really getting to the skinny on this. Come on.
Well, sure.
Throw Carter a break. No, I get it. But I think these are the things that over time, these little things add up and our character is built mm-hmm. on things like this. Mm-hmm. Jesus kept things very simple for a purpose. It's the simple things. I mean, my word, the littlest thing that I can go off on also could be the littlest thing that I can build on.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. maybe I'd be curious. Maybe you even disagree with me. Maybe you're like, I don't think I'd give up my seat either. I'd be curious.
Sure.
Because it is also just kind of a fun social conundrum. So feel free to comment on YouTube or even Apple if, for that matter. But
that's a good perspective.
It's okay if you disagree with me. I don't know. I don't know who's right
yeah.
anyway. But
yeah, there's an extra seat there for a single that they were, you know, waiting. I think her response could have been kinder. Was she kind of snitty? Snitty, is that a word? Snippy.
I don't know. It was, I mean, it seemed, because of what she was saying, it was, anybody, if they're in my situation, anybody could probably perceive it as stuck up. But how else are you going to say that if you've right. really created a boundary in your head besides, no, I got here early so I could pick my seat. I mean, those were her words.
Maybe just saying, I'm sorry. Actually, we really plan on sitting here.
I still would have thought strange, but
maybe
yeah,
even
yeah.
like looking to the person next to you and saying, is there any way? Because we kind of planned this. I know there's yeah. the nice way to set boundaries. Maybe that's still pushing it, unless like, you know, like the kids on Forrest Gump's bus. Saints taken.
yeah, that's not the way to do it,
Saints
right?
Taken.
So, okay, you have a new journal.
I do.
And you are now Indiana Jones.
Let him who has illuminated me.
No, anyway. That's why you have to watch. So, you text the word quiet to the number 893-893. That is what your journal is.
Instead of the t-shirt, my parents, they went all in on my Indiana Jones journal. No,
wow.
Which is really cool. And it smells like leather.
Okay.
All right. It smells. And look at these pages. Are these pages not awesome? So it's meant wow. to look weathered.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
really cool, it's leather bound and everything. And so she gives me, my mom and my dad, they give me this beautiful journal. This was my dad's gift idea. And he was very proud of it because most of the gift ideas come from moms.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
And I this is so sad. The very first journal entry I put, January 1st, 2023.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. And you can't do whiteout on something like that.
2024.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There is no orangey, ancient, scribish-looking whiteout.
You didn't have whiteout.
For that? So it's actually kind of humbling because then I put, oops.
Yep, oops.
You know, there you go. Beautiful literature.
First mistake of the year on the first.
I used a pen with perfect penmanship. This pen that actually is one of those fountain pens. They're very, very nice.
Very nice. That's cool.
And then I screwed
it up. That's a good gift idea.
But we're going to get to this journal entry later. But I thought, kind of wrapping up Psalms, which I really, really enjoyed doing that this year. In fact, I've already started rereading the Bible, and I thought, I don't want to do it in a year. I've done that. I really appreciated the pacing of just reading through the Psalms and journaling on a psalm a day. So what can I do? And I was like, I don't know. Somebody figure out, read the Bible in 2 years. Mm. They did.
Oh, somebody did it. Oh, cool.
So, and there are some days that it's going to be longer reading than others. And it kind of gives you an opportunity to just some areas you're going to want to dig in. Other areas you're going to be like, I'm fine if we skip all of this about Lot's daughters. I'm right. Fine.
Yeah.
But this last one, I did a who, what, where, when, why, which, as we all know, when doing a current event.
Yes, indeed.
In high school, you had to answer all of those questions. The year 1990. The place, Epcot. Who? My big brother and me. What? Carter, it was an opportunity. And why? The mouse was feet away.
Are you trying to get a picture?
Mickey Mouse. This is the first time I've ever seen Mickey Mouse in person.
Okay.
And I'm 13 years old and my brother's 15 years old. And it was like I was, I had just turned 13. So I'll give myself a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's like I was a movie star because he is a movie star. Mm-hmm. He's been the longest, like in the top 10 ranking, I would think, of movie stars since.
Yeah, the 30s or whatever.
What, 1928 right. Or yeah, whatever yeah. It was that he started. So I am like, oh, it's Mickey Mouse. But clearly his handler is like racing him through this area that we found ourselves in. And this is not a time for picture taking or autographs or whatever they used to do. And there weren't those types of photo ops that they have now created. So if you go to a theme park now, it's like, okay, you know you're going to stand in line and this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. No, you saw him, great. You didn't see him, sorry, but here's a lovely photo of Mickey.
Right.
So my brother goes, run. So epic sounding, run. Okay. And this was before, you know, any digital phones, of course. This was before, I think it might have had a flash on it, this camera. And my brother, who I didn't know could run, let alone run backwards that fast, is running backwards in front of Mickey Mouse, his handler, and me, who's wearing this weird sun hat that keeps flying up every time I'm running. And I'm like, holding it, and I'm making the weirdest smiling face, but I'm so happy and so excited. And I don't know what Mickey was feeling, because his expression is always...
Is the handler in the photo?
I think my brother was able to like crop him out or something because it was just us. And I'm like, and it was so blurred.
You're like the paparazzi or a crazed fan.
So, but that's a crazed fan, right?
Yeah.
That's a person who throws caution to the wind.
You did.
I don't care what people are thinking or saying about me. And at 13 years of age, that's kind of a big deal for a teenage girl because we are always just, oh. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that the little primping thing doesn't necessarily go away, hopefully in lesser degrees. But anyway, when I read Psalm 150, it talks about praising God and how fitting that the final psalm in the book of Psalms is talking about anywhere, anytime, praising the Lord. And it talks about, I think it talks about praising him no matter where you are and praising him as sounding cymbals and all these, making a big show of it. Very demonstrative. So here I am, like, I can't wait to get a picture with Mickey Mouse. And am I in that same way? Am I feeling that way about the King of Kings and my praise time with him and my quiet time with him? And then I got to thinking about, oh, there's this one guy. So there was a guy who was a grade below me, and his name is Matt. And it's middle school. And I'm in, I think it was seventh grade. So that would make Matt in sixth grade. I think we all know what middle school feels like, what you had to be like, what happened with Mickey Mouse. That would have been the talk of the middle school, okay? Did you hear what Rochelle did?
Right.
She looked real stupid is what she did. Real stupid. But Matt, there was something about this kid. Every single time we had chapel service, my school as a child was attached to the church that my dad was a pastor at. It was a pretty acknowledged private school for the area. And so there were a lot of us, but every Wednesday we would all group into the chapel area and we would have our service. And there would always be the praise and worship songs. Now, for my generation, it's going to be different than yours. You were singing Big House and all that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So ours is, this is the day.
Oh, we sing that too.
This is mm-hmm. the day. And like even getting us to clap or do any motion as a middle schooler, which like, how dare you task me with this mortifying display? Mm-hmm. You know, there's no praise in our mouths or in our thoughts for that matter. We are thinking and consumed with what others are thinking, right? And then there was Matt. And that kid, almost like a marionette being dangled from a puppeteer's stick, his legs, he would just dance before God. Just dance, his hands in the air and just full out like David danced. That's what I think of when I think of Matt. And as far as I know, even though we were a grade above him and the pew in the chapel behind him, I don't think anybody ever made fun of Matt. I don't think they ever said a thing. I think honestly, all we could think of was, I respect that. I wouldn't do it, but I respect that. Mm. And I always remember thinking that, wow. Years later, I remember my dad specifically asking me. I was single at the time, and he's like, well, what kind of person are you looking for? And I thought about that young man who he and his wife are missionaries, their kids, just as in love with Jesus as he ever was. Femke's his wife, just a beautiful family. And I thought, you know what? Someone who gives it up to Jesus without abandon. I mean, just with abandonment is mm-hmm. what I mean to say. Just, I don't care what other people are going to say, but this is the way I want to present my praise to the presence of God. Not everybody's going to dance when they praise, but people who are not ashamed of the gospel.
Sure.
Somebody who is willing to say, I love Jesus mm-hmm. and is not ashamed of it. And I praise God found a man who had no problem, weirdly enough, had Mickey Mouse dinner plates.
You found your perfect person.
And loved Jesus so much. I mean, had it on his license plate. Like, you talk about cheesy Christian shirts. Mm-hmm. I think my husband would totally be all in if, you know, again, with the New Year's resolution.
Right,
but
right.
I was so blessed, though, that I kind of had not only, you know, you have those hopeful people in your lives that present, hey, I would like a man like my father. Hopefully that's something that a girl might say about their dad. Mm-hmm. Somebody like my mom, not because I'm weird and I'm like, you know, got this Oedipus Rex problem that I had to unpack with Freud later, but that it would be like they modeled for me this consistent devotion to Jesus.
Sure.
There was something precious in the way they treated their spouse. There was something. So Lord, help me to ever be that hopeful example for my sons, but also to be thankful for when I see those types of things in my own husband, to be grateful in those Father's Day cards to my dad, to be thankful for those incredible guys that weren't my husband or anything, but that they showed an example of what a man can be. Mm-hmm. And I just really appreciated Matt. He was that beautiful person that I know not just touched my life, but every child in that chapel. And it wasn't for us to look at him. He did it because he was full on all about Jesus.
Yeah, right.
And that was just fluff. That's just, you know, icing on the cake.
Yeah.
That we got to see that, witness that.
Right. No, that's so good. I think that's good. And in the world that we live in of, you know, the things that happen in this country where it's now more and more socially acceptable to not believe anything or go to church, right? You know, years and years ago, it was like, well, you just got to go to church and look like a good person. Mm-hmm. And now it's just socially acceptable to not. And so we're really going to be, I think, seeing who actually has passion, you know?
Yeah.
And in some ways that's encouraging. I think when you're part of a church in it, it's actually people that don't socially feel like they have to be there to prove something. They just are there because it's authentic. That's really cool.
It's really cool. And also to recognize that part of the work, compassion, is passion. Mm-hmm. So remembering to be passionate, but sometimes we can be so passionate that we forget to be compassionate. Mm. And then sometimes we can be so, hey, I want to always usher in grace, which is great. But there's also, there's a call to action sometimes in truth.
Yeah, I heard somebody say the other day that truth, it was on a, like a Christian and I think, you know, maybe like a progressive Christian arguing back and forth of what true faith is. And somebody said, truth shouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. And I almost typed and I'm like, no, I'm just going to sit here and think my thought, which is truth should be truth. Mm-hmm. It should be said with love.
Oh, absolutely.
But it should just be true, whatever you're telling somebody.
And it brings in freedom.
Yeah.
What really is freedom.
Right.
But I know that doesn't make sense to, if you haven't experienced that. But this looks free because I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. But then after you do the thing, it's interesting. I was watching a sitcom with my family and it was so perfect what one of the main characters said. So every night you just go out, you hook up with whoever you want, you drink way too much, you come back and what happens? And she says, guilt, shame, dissatisfaction. It doesn't sound free.
Mm. Right.
I mean, it's an acknowledgement of, you know, where this is really what this is.
You eventually become enslaved with something.
Yeah, it's your choice to do that, absolutely. Yeah. And there's freedom in choice making, but there's you imprison yourself if you keep on. What is the definition of insanity here?
Sure, sure.
The same thing over and over again, expecting different results. It's not
going
to happen. It's the same, same old, same old.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's so important that both of those go hand in hand and remembering what is truth. Jesus said, I am. And I was listening to somebody who was way smarter than I am talking about logos and the Latin word for speaking, but not only speaking, but understanding what you're speaking. And the first part of the book of John, basically, Jesus is logos. He is the word. And C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, Jesus is what God wanted to say.
Hmm.
What he wanted to say. And when we read, when we see what Jesus did, yes, nobody more, nobody with more passion, the week that he died, we call it Passion Week, nobody with more compassion. But also in truth, he shared things with love and he encouraged to do something more than they ever dreamed.
Sure.
Something more than their circumstances had dictated. This is all you'll ever be. No, you're an heir to the throne.
Yeah.
What? We can do better. Come follow me.
You know, next week I want to talk about something that with a lot of people doing diet and exercise, that the fad it can seem great at first, but it's not always the ultimate answer. It's not always the perfect way. And so I want to get into that.
The perfect way.
I want to get into that, right? I want to get into that next week, but with just our conversation now, I want to bring up another series that I got to be a part of called Christianity 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. And because kind of what you're talking about with the basics of Jesus, but then you kind of got into that complex and now you're the symbolism that was within Christianity. And Houston area pastor Steve Besner and I just get to sit down. We start with literally, who is God? What is the Bible? All of that. And by episode 5, we're talking about universalism and the moral problem of evil. If a loving God, all-powerful God, could stop evil, you know, and that hard question of why does evil exist? I mean, so we're kind of working our way up in the middle of that, boundaries and forgiveness and politics and all of these things that we all go through. So I say that to say, if you know a skeptic, if you are a skeptic, if you're a new believer, or if you have some hard-to-answer questions, mm-hmm. You can text the word faith to the number 893-893, and that'll get right to you.
And I kind of want to say that also, when you even put those kinds of things out there, that can feel overwhelming. To old believers or new believers, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's just, that's a lot of information. But
right.
I know that, I've mentioned this before, I'm a big Star Wars person. And when you kind of go into the Star Wars universe, you see all these different layers and you become a bigger nerd mm-hmm. than you ever thought you could become.
Right.
Or if you're a sports fan, knowing stats and things like that and keeping up to date with your favorite team and your favorite player ever. And those are the kinds of things, the more that you learn, the more excited you become. Did you know this? And
right.
then you find yourself having conversations with people who don't care.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? But that's great. I'm super glad you know.
And you got to summarize Star Wars with like, well, it's a good versus evil. And you just try to go to the basics as much as possible. But that's where you started.
Right. That's where you started. The difference is that Jesus is for all.
Yeah.
He is for all. But I don't know that when I was a child, I felt the warm fuzzies of knowing who Jesus was as my best friend, as this person I could talk to no matter what. The older I grow, though, the more I long to know more about him. Mm-hmm. So it should never feel overwhelming, like you have to know all this information. I think you're going to, just like the deeper you go,
yeah.
I kind of want to keep going down this path because I'm invested in this incredible Savior, and I know he invested in me.
Right.
And
right.
Others can know this freedom too. They don't have to go and do the thing every night that they've been doing to try sure. to find satisfaction.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the goal in this series was really get in where you fit in, is an expression we use around here sometimes of whatever you're comfortable with. So if you need to start at the beginning and then you jump off by episode 3, great. If you, man, I don't need episodes 1 and 2. I want to get right to great, whatever, but it's available right there. If
you have OCD like me and you have to go through 1 through 5 every and you can't jot, don't one. You ever, I missed that last word. Rewind it.
Rewind it. The back 15 seconds, right? So you can definitely, that's on the KSBJ channel. So you can subscribe there after you text FAITH to 893-893 or subscribe right here too. So you can get notifications of the Anything But Quiet Time podcast, and we will see you next week.